short trips, and about insurance coverage options. Open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. More information at 845-586-2641 or SleiterAgency.com. WIOX is supported by Kimchi Harvest at East Branch Farms on Route 30 at Briggs Road in Roxbury. Growers and sellers of authentic homemade Korean kimchi, the fermented superfood made from cabbage, radish, rhubarb, dandelions, sunchokes, and other seasonal plants and vegetables, and other mansions, traditional Korean side dishes. East Branch Farms. Information and ordering for pickup, 607-326-6177 or eastbranchfarms.com. WIOX is supported by Delaware County Solid Waste Management Center on State Route 10 in Walton for disposal and recycling. Open 7:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. Delaware County Solid Waste Management Center information about materials and disposal fees at 607-832-5800 or see the Delaware County Solid Waste Management Center link at WIOXradio.org.
This is Mark Bierman, host of Mark Bierman Sports, Monday evenings at 7 p.m. and Mark Bierman Today, Tuesday and Wednesday mornings, 9 a.m. here on WIOX Roxbury. In the words of President Barack Obama, ordinary people, when they are working together, can do extraordinary things. And you can help us keep this extraordinary radio station live and local in the Catskill Mountains. Please join our holiday fundraising binge and make a donation at WIOXradio.org. Remember, every dollar you give will be matched. WIOX, here for you, supported by you.
Okay, you're listening to WIOX Community Radio, live and local, in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20. And everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate if you like what you hear. You can also get WIOX on any smart device through the Radio.fm app. This is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Talk about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John, how's it going?
Things are good, Ryan. How are you?
Okay. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been tied up with Christmas-type things lately, so I haven't been out in the woods too much, but I have been taking note of the deer still, and seems like they're going back to normal.
Yeah, that's right. Seems like it.
Seeing deer out in fields where I haven't seen them in a couple months. I've seen some big bucks around that likely wouldn't have shown their faces a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. The snow went away, as you already know.
Witnessed that, yep.
2 feet of snow, plus or minus, gone. Rain on snow, I guess you had some flooding over this way, on this side of the mountain?
Well, I saw some pictures in the Margaville area, and looked like the flat behind Freshtown flooded again, and there was parking lots full and things like that. The Delhi area where I live, a couple bridges were had some water over them.
Yeah.
How about you?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, there was some flooding, but I didn't notice too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I haven't heard of anything catastrophic, but
yeah. Other than that, just cutting trees down, you know, some near people's homes and some just too close to other better quality trees.
Yep.
So I've been doing a lot of that. And I don't know, what else? Eating a lot of venison. That's good.
Good.
Like talked about it, I think, on the last show, using juniper berries for flavoring venison steaks. Really good.
How was it?
Did I talk about that?
You did.
Yeah, it's great. Very good.
So how'd you do it?
You just pick them and then crush them a little bit and apply them as a rub, you know, in a Ziploc bag or whatever.
Yep.
It's very good. Very good taste.
Awesome. We had venison heart the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So something that usually gets left in the woods by a lot of hunters, the heart and the liver.
Yeah. I've tried them both. I don't know. Never been into it.
Still not that into liver. I may have it once a year at camp if someone's cooking it up. But the heart, I've really come to like. This is really the first year I've eaten all of the deer hearts that I've shot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the tenderloins, you know. It's a very dense muscle. Not unlike the tenderloins, but it's a very dense muscle. Mm. But it has just a different taste, different flavor, but it's not an off flavor. It's not an off-putting flavor.
Yeah.
No, I like it.
Yeah, I'd give it a try again. I don't know.
I know a lot of people pickle it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Not pickled meat, no.
No. It's not my thing. But that's okay. You know? No, like the ground venison as well. So, that's pretty good. And but in any case, tonight's show is going to be about, you know, a different animal. Sometimes, once in a while, we just pick a different animal, forested animal, and learn about it and go with it.
All right. What do we got?
The river otter.
Nice.
Yeah. River otter.
River otter is a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. The river otter, Lontra canadensis, you know, a little Latin. Also known as round torpedoes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And very long and skinny. They're part of the weasel family, or mustelid. And I don't know how many of you have seen this guy before, but it's got a stout body, short legs, and like a torpedo, noticeably tapered. You know, kind of, yeah, it looks like a torpedo.
Sure. They might be about 3 feet long.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one?
Several.
Yeah?
Yeah, many of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen them. Where I grew up in New Paltz, in that part of New York State, it's legal to trap them. I don't think it is right here. I think you're right on the line.
We're somewhere near a line, yeah.
Yeah.
I think north, not far north of us is the line.
I don't know if you can, Delaware County. I have to look at it. I didn't think you could.
I think Otsego County you might be able to. I think that's where the line might.
No, south you can.
Or south you can.
Yeah.
But north again, the line picks back up again.
All right. Yeah,
because you definitely can in the Adirondacks again.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, we got to look at that regulation. But anyway, I mean, their population is definitely rebounding around here.
Mm.
See them more and more.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember when I was trapping in high school. Had some really good years, I guess, that year. Because what made it fun was that when the ice froze, there was no snow.
Yeah.
And it was clear. So you could see the bubble trails that were frozen in the ice. And when there's bubble trails, you can really see where the beavers are going. You know, it kind of gives away all their whereabouts.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, you just set your trap right into those bubble trails. And anyway, we're walking on the ice in these swamps in the towns of Plattekill and Lloyd. So it's highland area. And there's a lot of swamps over there, especially in Plattekill. And mainly after muskrats. There's a whole den of black muskrats, kind of rare, and beaver. Anyway, I remember looking through the ice, and I see this long brown thing just go right underneath us. And I was like, whoa, what the hell was that? And my friend's like, that was an otter, man.
Holy cow.
Yeah, pretty neat.
That's awesome.
And you'd see their slides, you know?
Yeah, I think the first time I took note of an otter was trapping in high school as well. That was on the west branch of the Delaware River near Delhi. saw their tracks and their sign all over the place. I've never actually witnessed one then, but they were occupying the same grounds I was. But yeah, since then, seen many of them.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Streamlined body, fully webbed feet. I think beavers have that too, right? Muskrats?
Beavers, yep.
Broad and flattened head and a muscular tail with closable nostrils. This kind of enables it to go underwater for quite some time. The ears, the eyes, the nose are all on top of the head, so they can remain almost fully submerged. Light brown to black, you know. The males and females, as John already said, they're about 44 inches, 38 inches, so 3 feet. And anywhere from 10 to 30 pounds, the males are bigger. And it depends on the age and the diet, right? The older, better the diet, the bigger they will be. This is kind of cool. The lungs are of different sizes, so one lung is bigger than another.
Really?
Yeah.
And why?
Somehow, in order, it promotes being underwater and the way they breathe. I don't really understand. I was reading about it, but I don't really get it. But I don't know.
Does oxygen exchange from one to the other? Maybe movement? I don't know. I'm just guessing. Huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but they're not the same size, apparently. Their eyes are also unique for underwater living. Somehow, they have some kind of membrane or something that goes over their eyes, make it, you know, more protected from the water somehow, and they can see. But also, the problem with that is it somehow makes them nearsighted. So that's why a lot of times people see them coming right up to their fishing boat.
Oh, they didn't see it?
They don't see that. They don't see up close or something.
Huh.
I don't know. Is that what nearsighted means? I always get that confused, even though it sounds like it'd be obvious.
I believe, right? I am not sure. Ow. Nearsighted, I believe, is you can see near, right? Things afar are of
what? I don't know. Well, when I was reading about it, they said this is why they can be seen coming close to people's boats for this reason, because they're nearsighted.
Okay, we'll go with it.
Yeah, let's go with that. All right. Otters groom their fur with a towel made of moss or grass. Yeah, I guess these are clean creatures too, maybe, because beavers are the same way. They clean each other, I guess.
Yeah, I got my hands on one in college. Someone trapped it and really examined it. I thought it was the coolest thing to hold one. It's so... This one was more of black color, but it's just so silky, sleek. And like you said, very clean animal. I just thought it was the neatest thing. And the way it tapered all the way to the tip of its tail,
mm-hmm.
really cool. Thick, muscular tail. You can grab a hold of it and just tell that it's a substantial.
Yeah, some people eat the tail of the beaver. I wonder if the otters are more scarce. But you ever eaten a beaver tail?
I have not eaten a beaver. Well, I shouldn't say that.
You shouldn't say that. You forgot?
Well, I ate beaver twice, and I don't know what part either time was fed to me. So maybe the tail, not sure.
Interesting. Huh. Was alcohol involved or something?
It was in college. No, well, I mean, there was probably some casual beers, but no, I wasn't intoxicated.
All right.
I didn't process the animal, so I'm just not sure what part was fed to me.
A lot of people don't realize this, but the fur you mentioned, otter's fur is considered the standard, meaning you compare everything else to an otter's fur because it's considered the best.
Yeah, wow.
I read about this and it said it, but before that, my friend's father, who I grew up with in high school, who I learned trapping and all this from, he was on this radio show from the forest quite a few years ago talking about trapping, and that's what he said too. He says there is no better. It's the standard. It's, you know, it's the dollar that you compare everything to. So, yeah, better than beaver, everything.
Well, I know I haven't looked at trapping at fur prices in a long time, but back when I was trapping, I do know that they were going for high money. There's no doubt.
I don't know about the price. That's not what I'm saying as far as quality.
Well, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
But the price was high too.
Oh, was it? Yeah. I've heard it's bad now, but I'm not sure.
I think everything's bad.
Yeah, since there's
no market for fur anymore.
Mm. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest, and tonight's topic is the river otter.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? If a tinker were my trade, would you still find me carrying the parts I made, following behind me? Save my love through loneliness, save my love through sorrow. I've given you my loneliness. Give me your tomorrows. If I worked my hands in wood, would you still love me? Answer me, baby, yes I would. I'd put you above me. If I were a miller, yeah, had a mill wheel grinding, would you miss your color box, little girl, your soft shoes shining? If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby? Would you marry me anyway and have my baby?
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is the River Otter. That was Bobby Darin, man.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people have sang that song. So, River Otter. All right. It used to be just about everywhere that there was permanent water, right? Like rivers, lakes, wetlands. And numbers were severely reduced, and by 1980, the River Otter was extirpated from 11 states, and I think only Prince Edward Island in Canada lost theirs in Canada, but in the United States, 11 states were missing the River Otter. Today, it's made a big comeback, as you were saying. 29 U.S. states have viable populations. Trapping peaked in the 1970s of the otter. It's now considered the standard for raiding other pelts because of its so thick and lustrous. So, distribution and habitat in New York State. Again, it used to be found everywhere, in every watershed in New York State. Legal protection began as early as 1936. They think, its numbers dwindled due to habitat destruction, over-trapping, and the D.C. claims contamination by pesticides or chemicals as well, which we'll talk a little bit about. Over-trapping, for sure, but I think habitat, once again, is probably the most main things.
Yeah, probably. I know there are a lot of trapping regulations out there, specifically geared towards beaver trapping now that weren't there in the past. I think maybe people weren't intentionally trapping otters, and it was bycatch that was part of the issue, if there was any over-trapping going on.
Yeah.
Especially with conibear traps. Pass-through style traps. there's a lot of otter-related regulations now on those traps, so otters can pass through, and you can still trap beavers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like offset triggers, because they're more sleek. Otters or beavers are much more fat, so they're going to hit the trigger when an otter can pass through. Maximum or minimum size of traps in certain situations can't go too small because the otter will, you know, trip it off.
That makes sense.
Things like that. Trapping within a certain amount of feet of beaver dams where they cross up and over. Everything uses it. Not just the beavers. The otters do too. They slide down. So keeping your traps away from the dam.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, that definitely helped. We'll get to a little bit more of the habitat, but I think habitat was the number one thing. And obviously trapping, I would rate it as a second probably. But as recent as the 1990s, the otter was only found in the eastern half of New York State. And the eastern half of New York State, if you look at a map, is just more mountainous than the western half. The western half is much more flat and lacks mountains, except for the Allegheny. And farming. A lot more farming out there, and to this day they have fewer otters. But when you consider the Adirondacks, the Helderbergs, the Catskills, the Shawangunks, the Hudson Highlands, just pretty poor farmland in comparison to western New York, so its otters came back sooner as farmland was abandoned, I would guess. I don't know.
Right, and especially with western New York agriculture, a lot of wetlands are drained.
Yeah.
Like you said, habitat loss, what was once there is gone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what habitat does this guy prefer? And it seems to prefer permanent watersheds, as we said before, rivers, lakes, ponds, small streams, marshes, and other inland wetlands. However, I didn't realize this, but it seems to prefer really inland marshes the most. So big swamps.
Hmm.
And that's where we were trapping. There's some big swamps between the towns of Sopus, Lloyd, and New Paltz. And right on 299, there's a huge, Route 299 is a huge swamp. And I'm sure there's otter in there. But
I was going to say all the sightings I have had have been near a river, but in little Benekils that go off the edge of the rivers. I saw five one day, five all together. That was one of the coolest things I've seen. I've seen pairs of otters multiple times swimming around. But we were duck hunting on the West Branch off this little Benekil. And we had our decoy of duck decoys out, a couple dozen of them, and all of a sudden a ripple comes up underneath one. I said, that's weird. There's not usually fish up in this little Benekil. And then another one, and then a head pops up, and then another one, and then another one. And they began playing or whatever they were doing. Five otters amongst our duck decoys, just going up and down and surfacing and rolling around, and then they moved through and left.
Yeah, they're known for playing. That's just kind of weird to otters.
Must have been a family group, and that's what the young ones were doing, I guess.
Yeah. So the otter requires emergent vegetation or expansive riparian corridors, so it needs cover. Maybe more so than other ones, I'm not sure, but it seems to be really dependent on some kind of young growth growing along those permanent watersheds for cover. It's also positively associated with beavers as a commensal relationship. Commensal means that one animal is indifferent to the relationship, and the other one benefits. So the otter benefits, and the beaver is not harmed. In fact, some of them are even found living with each other.
In the same...
Yeah, otters have been known to be living in the beaver lodge, and no problems.
Freeloaders.
For the most part, yeah. Hey, they don't build their own dens. They either take over, apparently, a beaver's lodge or a woodchuck, groundhog.
Wow.
Yeah. So, who knows? Does well where there's log jams, where log jams exist in rivers. This is probably another reason why in the past it didn't do so well. So much coarse woody debris was just taken out of streams, and now it's kind of like there's the opposite thought process of leaving it in. Although, you know, I don't know if you want to leave it in your villages and stuff. That can be bad, as we've learned in the Catskills. But so plenty of cover, coarse woody debris it likes. Does not make its own den. Uses either beavers or another small mammals, like a woodchuck. So, there you go.
I didn't know that. I just assumed they dug their own hole in the bank like the other animals do.
Yeah, man, they're freeloaders. You know, what do you want?
Talk to them.
So, food and feeding. What does a river otter eat? It's an opportunistic generalist, which means it eats quite a bit of a lot of things, but mainly it eats fish.
Whatever it can find.
Yeah. Mainly fish, though. Let's see. It prefers slow-moving fish, which makes sense, so it can, you know, predate on them easily. Suckers, catfish, sunfish. I'm sure carp, man. Those things don't move very fast. Bass, shiners, daces. But it's not going to catch up to a trout very easy.
No.
So, it can consume about 2.2 to 3.3, they got this really down,
wow,
pounds of fish per day.
Yeah, who figured that out?
I don't know. But, they're, you know,
that's a lot of fish, though. Well, I mean, just has to catch, you know, one of those suckers, and there you go.
Yeah. I mean, how much is the average trout? 8-inch trout weigh?
Not much at all.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. In murky water, its eyes allow them to see as well. So they can still see a little bit in that murky water. However, when they can't see anything, they rely upon their whiskers. They got these long, pretty cool-looking whiskers. And it picks up on movement, the whiskers.
Hmm.
You know? It's kind of like that old thing that, you know, they say a human being's beard enables them to sense things. You believe in that, John? You use that while you're hunting?
I guess. I don't know. My wife always tells me I see deer that she doesn't. So.
It's the beard.
I'll tell her it's the beard.
It's the beard. You got to grow a beard. And you'll be able to see that movement, sense the movement.
Right.
I can sense the deer.
Where did you pick up on this? Where did you hear that?
What? Whiskers?
Beard.
No, I don't know. I feel like I read that somewhere.
Didn't know if this was common knowledge or lore.
There's, probably both.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if it's true, but it's true with the otter.
Barroom banter?
I mean, the otter uses whiskers to pick up on movement. Could it be that a man's beard, you know, can be used for hunting?
I guess I can sense wind direction.
It's something. Right. I mean, you know. But can you sense it without the beard? I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, I can also sense it without the beard.
And why do people rub their beards when they're thinking? These are all things to think about.
I don't know.
Anyway, this is From the Forest. Every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., talking about a different forest-related topic. Tonight we're talking about the river otter. So it mostly feeds upon fish, then crustaceans and amphibians. Crustaceans would include crayfish, which are pretty cool little guys, like miniature lobsters found in the streams. You know? I used to play with those things all the time as a kid.
Yeah, me too. You'd find some big ones every now and then.
I guess Southerners would call them crawfish.
Crawdads.
Crawdads. Yeah. Reptiles and amphibians. They also eat those spring and summer. And that includes frogs, salamanders, newts, and even garter snakes. Disgusting. Anyway.
Just because it's a snake?
Birds. Waterfowl. They've been known to actually eat a duck or a mallard.
Well, nest predation, I'm sure, is easy for an otter.
Yeah. Waterfowl, such as rails. Insects. Dragonfly nymphs, stoneflies, adult beetles, anything you can get, you know. Mammals, it rarely eats mammals, but once in a while, it'll take a vole, cottontail. And I know I said before that it gets along with a beaver, but apparently there's documentation that it has eaten small beavers.
Well, freeloaders.
Yeah, man.
Gotta watch your back with freeloaders.
That's right. what's that?
They might eat you one day.
Yeah, it might turn around and eat you. So, up next, we'll talk about the reproduction of the river otter. And this is From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m.
Papa, why? Oh, they-
said, try to be a man, and someday you'll understand. But I'm here to tell you now, it's never my son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, cause someday it never comes. Then one day in April, I wasn't even there. Son was born to me. Mama held his hand, hey, and someday you'll understand. Well, I'm here to tell you now, you should never mother's son. You better learn it fast, you better learn it young, or someday it'll never come. Ooh, someday.
Creedence Clearwater. We might have to play another song of Creedence tonight.
Do it.
I like Creedence.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. From the Forest, every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., talk about a different forest-related topic. And when we're not talking about Creedence, we're talking about the river otter. So, reproduction. When's this guy, get together with the missus?
December through May, and that seems like a very, very long window.
Yeah, really.
Like,
jeez.
Why not just do it all year at that point?
Yeah, pick a date. Man.
I mean, there's so many other animals out there that are in a 6-week window.
Yeah,
or
really.
Less.
I believe, John, the beaver is, what's the word? Monogamous?
Monogamous.
Monotheistic. That's about God. Yeah. Stay monogamous, yeah.
All right.
I should remember that. How to say monogamous, right, John? Yeah, I believe it is. I think it stays with just one mate.
Beavers?
I think so.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the otter's not like that, okay?
They're polygamous.
Yeah. I don't know if it's polygamous, but I think it just goes to another one the next year or something. So, like the black bear, there's delayed implantation.
Ah, that's what's going on then.
Of the sperm, yeah. And what that means is, they can fornicate and... there may not be, for lack of a better word, germination. Germination. Man, I can't think. Fertilization. Between sperm and egg for a while. Just sit there until conditions are right or whatever. Right? Is that how it goes?
Conditions are right, or with black bears, it happens so that they can breed over a long period of time, usually all summer long. Excuse me. And then all of the cubs, according to the delayed implementation, all the cubs will be born at the same time in the den.
Amazing.
During hibernation.
Right.
Right.
That's cool. It's pretty neat, huh?
Yeah.
The gestation, how long it takes to brew into an otter, is about 61 to 63 days, right? The bun in the oven for 63 days. Then it comes out, little otter.
Okay.
Okay. Born April through May, and typically 1 to 3 kits, sometimes 5 little ones.
Wow.
Yeah. The adult provides food for up to 40 days, and then the young are out, man, and they can disperse up to 100 miles.
So I wonder why the... Because the otters that I saw was during duck season, so it was, say, November.
Yeah.
There was 5 of them.
Yep.
So assuming it was a family group.
Yeah.
That's long after the 40-day window if they were born April, May.
I have a feeling that this is more of a segue into it's probably the males that leave, I would imagine. But the females and the kits seem to be the main social unit.
Hmm.
And probably more the female kits, I bet, stick around more, gotcha. I would imagine. But that's usually the way it goes with mammals.
Makes sense.
But maybe that's what you saw. And they are seen playing, which is kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, they saw those duck decoys, and they knew that was off.
Huh.
And they're playing around. I'm surprised that they didn't grab one and drag it around, because they're on stringers.
Oh, yeah?
I would have expected one to grab a hold of one. But not. They just swam through them and...
Huh.
Surface curled around, and we were smiling and laughing, and it was a good time.
Everyone was having a good time.
Even us. We enjoyed watching.
Well, they're known to chuckle, you know that? They can make chuckling noises, literally.
They're probably laughing. That's good. I don't think we shot a duck that day either.
Yeah.
Look at these poor hunters.
Yeah, right. So here's the thing about these guys. I don't know if you knew this, but apparently, and I've read it in several places... They have really, really strong latrine sites. Like, they use the same place over and over again.
For cleanliness or scent or something?
Well, I guess it gets pretty dirty because they use the same sites over and over again to defecate. And the sites can occur like a large conifer, a point of land, like a little, you know, peninsula that goes into the water.
Yep.
A beaver lodge. How about that? It might...
It's like going over.
Takes over its house and then it uses it as a latrine site.
Or maybe eats him.
Yeah, maybe eats him. You know. Poor beavers, man. Or an exposed root system. So this is something to look for. It's mainly nocturnal, the river otter. But can be seen during the day foraging or, as you saw John playing. It moves on the land by loping or bounding like any weasel, because that's what it is. It's a weasel. The tracks are laid out in an angled string. Look for the tail dragging, though. So that's a main thing you're going to look for, is that tail dragging. And it's probably an otter.
And, well, you're not likely to see their tracks on land too far.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the water mostly. But there was one incident that I found these tracks. We were snowmobiling up in the North Country. This is college time. And... it was nighttime, so I don't know if there was a swampy marsh nearby, but it appeared not. It looked like we were in an upland area. And we caught these tracks. They had snowed recently, and we were the first snowmobiles back on the trail since the snow. And there was these tracks coming down the trail, and they'd go up a little hill. There's a little rolling hill country, and up a little hill and slide down.
Really?
Up a little hill, slide down. We followed, I don't know how far, I should have clocked it, but it was farther than I would think an otter would go. It was dispersing, without a doubt, dispersing to another watershed and using the snowmobile trail as a travel corridor.
Yeah.
It went a mile or more, a couple miles.
Wow.
Really cool.
No kidding.
Yep.
I wonder how many people have seen an otter and mistaken it because they want to see mountain lions, too. I mean, they're only 10 to 30 pounds, but the human eye, if it wants to see something sometimes...
Especially if it's out of place and maybe dispersing to another pond or lake and
yeah.
You see it over land.
Absolutely. You know, they look bigger with fur on, too. But so let's see here. Oh, yeah, besides the tail dragging marks, look for those slides, you know, going into the streams and whatnot. They literally, like you said, slide into the water or down a hill. I didn't know that. Communication. They make a snarling growl or a hissing bark when they're kind of mad about something or surprised, or a shrill whistle when in pain. And most commonly heard from people is a sound amongst a group of otters is chuckling. It's pretty funny. don't know. I always thought ducks was the funniest, but I've never heard of otters chuckling, so maybe that would be.
So ducks are, it's a feeding chuckle. They're not, it's not laughter.
Yeah.
They're not laughing at each other.
Ducks. They're crazy.
So is the otter a feeding chuckle as well, or what's their communication there?
I don't know. They're just getting together and playing around. I'm not sure. Didn't really say. You know, maybe just that's just the way they're socializing. I don't know. I'm not an otter psychologist. I don't know.
Ask the guy that found 2.2 pounds of fish per day. He would know.
I know. He would know. But if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is the river otter. You're just tuning in. You're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is the river otter. So the river otter is kind of a misnomer. It's really should be called swamp or inland wetland otter. Mostly that's where it's found. I didn't really realize that. But then again, I don't spend that much time in swamps. So, you know.
Well, there's just not as many here in the Catskill region. You get up to the Adirondacks, they're more prevalent.
Yeah. Yep, and portions of the Hudson Valley have some big swamps as well. Strong association with aquatic emergent vegetation, as said before. Affinity for freshwater wetlands, and many times is found actually living with beavers in their lodges, as we said before as well. So, positively found with beaver habitat, and it's those lodges is where sometimes it'll live right with the beaver. And the dams, when the beaver dams up, you know, an area. And then especially when it abandons an area, you get emergent vegetation, which provides it with ample foraging and denning habitat, you know. So I guess it's really dependent on that.
Yeah, just like a lot of wildlife.
Yeah.
a lot of birds, a lot of mammals. They're all dependent on young habitat, young forest, disturbed areas.
Yeah, need some coarse woody debris structure along those bodies of water. Makes sense. Again, it does not make its own den sites, and it basically takes over either a beaver's or a groundhog's. So during drought, it'll actually move to a more permanently wet area. So it'll move over land. So, yeah. Predators, parasites, and disease. Really, the biggest thing is trapping or vehicles that kill otters when they cross a road once in a while. But little else. Overland travel does leave them somewhat susceptible to bobcats, coyote, domestic dogs. Yeah, they are susceptible to rabies and distemper. However, only since 1998, only 3 cases of rabies have been reported in New York State, according to the DEC.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you come across about how long they live?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question.
Have to look that one up. I would guess 10 years or less.
Yeah, how come?
Most weasel family members don't live too terribly long. They have a high metabolism. So in years where there's a poor food source or something, they're susceptible. They're big, long bodies, lose a lot of heat.
Yeah.
So they need to constantly eat. They need eating a lot of food all day long.
Yeah.
To keep up with that heat loss, especially being in water. So, I would just assume it'd take 1 year and a poor year, and it'd be tough.
Yeah, that makes sense. Have you ever trapped an otter?
No, I've never been in an area that... Well, I guess in the Adirondacks when I was in college I could.
Yeah.
But I didn't really trap then. I had a couple friends that did, though. So I held a couple otters, and like I said, that was pretty cool. They were getting them through holes in the ice. The otters would maintain a hole that they would exit the ice out of and go to other water sources from on a smaller pond that froze up. That didn't have like a stream as an inlet. And I guess that's how they were trapping those ones.
Mainly on streams.
No, on the hole in the ice.
No, but off of streams or?
That particular spot, it was just like a little kettle hole pond. There was no stream that was feeding it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kettles. They got a lot of those up there.
Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of like a... not really a bog, but... I don't know. How do you explain a kettle?
It's a pond that I would say was a acre or less, or 5 acres or less, that just doesn't have a defined inlet outlet. It's just groundwater or runoff water that's feeding it.
Glacial, I think they were created, from what I remember, glacially.
Yeah, right.
In the Adirondacks.
But they're usually near a large body of water.
Yeah.
Like a decent-sized lake.
So the otter, how does it hunt after its prey? And usually it uses ambush or just a quick lunge at its prey. It can remain underwater for up to 4 minutes. So it's a pretty long time.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? They can swim at speeds up to 6.8 miles per hour. It's pretty fast.
Wow.
For water travel.
That's good. Plus the current, you can really get moving along.
Yeah. Depths. It can go to a depth of 22 yards or 20 meters underwater. It's pretty deep.
Yeah. That's further than humans, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what a human can go without protection.
I think... I don't know either, but it seems pretty deep. 66 feet?
Yeah.
That seems deeper than a human could go without some type of breathing apparatus and protection.
Yeah, sure. It can travel up to 440 yards underwater. That's a long way.
Wow.
Yeah. So another reason why you might not be seeing them is if it can go 440 yards.
Yeah, it might catch a glimpse of you coming and duck down under the water and be gone.
Yeah. And live fish are usually eaten from the head. And otters are apparently known to cooperate with each other while fishing sometimes.
So maybe scaring fish to each other, like doing fish drives?
Fish drives, yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know? It's pretty neat.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never seen one on the East Branch, Delaware, yet.
I have.
I'm sure they have. They're there.
I guess it was just off of the East Branch. So you first turn onto the Reservoir Road, not 30, but the other side of the reservoir. Make a left out of Margaretville there, heading south. And the bridge, the East Branch Bridge, where it dumps into the Papacton, is just right off of 28 there. You can still see the bridge. And between the bridge and the Reservoir Road.
Oh, the Dunraven Road? No.
Other side. Go the other way. There is a wetland right there. When I was driving by for work one day, Catskill Forest Association, I just happened to glance over and I see something making a lot of ripples out in that little wetland area. So I pull over and look, and there was two otters right there.
Yeah.
They were playing. I would call it playing. It was summertime, and they were going back and forth and making a lot of ripples.
Ah, no kidding.
Yep. So that's the first one I've seen on the East Branch.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, it makes sense that they would be like in an inlet or inland wetland, because they're not dealing with, the flow of the water and stuff, you know what I mean?
And I think there's probably
protection. It's got protection from that.
Protection for predators, too. It wasn't mentioned, but I would assume that if old Abe there can swoop down on a young otter,
yeah,
it would.
Yep.
Abe being Mr. Bald Eagle.
Absolutely.
I would think so. Those wetlands that maybe an eagle might not be perched on as readily would be a safer bet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And oftentimes you will find carp and suckers when they're adjacent to those streams like that. They'll dump over on a floodwater event, and they'll just be hanging out living in those little wetlands.
Yeah, there's plenty of carp and stuff in suckers in the East Branch.
Oh, tons of them. Tons of them.
Yeah.
Lots of food.
Yeah, the reservoirs have got to be full of them.
I would think so.
I mean,
I would think they can get pretty big, too.
Otters, I mean, as well.
Oh, otters, yeah. Yeah, you know? I would think so. That must be an excellent travel corridor to other areas, too. I mean, it's a body of water connecting all the streams in a 20-mile span.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. What else we got here? Behavior. I already talked about that. Hunting. We did that. So that's it. That's all I got on the River Otter.
Ah, all right.
You know, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., and tonight's topic was the River Otter. Got about 3 minutes left. Is there anything you want to talk about, John?
Well, I'm going to go out to Western New York for the weekend, go do Christmas on my wife's side. But out there is the easternmost population of fox squirrels.
Oh, yeah, fox squirrels.
So I'm going to go see if I can find a fox squirrel.
Are you going to hunt them?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Something it's obviously illegal to do. Fox squirrels, gray squirrels.
Yeah.
Season's open in New York State. And fox squirrel, if you don't know, I would say it's about a third larger than a gray squirrel.
Yeah.
And it's got the guard hairs, the bristly hairs extending outward from its coat, are a reddish color. So it's like when you see it in a flash, I have personally mistaken it real quick, thinking, wow, was that a fox? And then you see it climbing up a tree and go, nope, that was a fox squirrel.
Like, they must look pretty big.
They are. Like I said, about a third larger than a gray squirrel, and I would describe it as a small cat.
Very small. Good eating, man.
That's what I'm considering. I've never eaten one. So
yeah,
I've had squirrel, not fox squirrel. Might be
how
worse.
South do they go, you know, the range?
I don't know. I don't know how far south they go.
Yeah, I wonder.
But I know, yeah, the Western New York is their easternmost range. I've seen them out there deer hunting before.
I wonder why they're not found more east.
I don't know. The habitat isn't different in a squirrel's perspective.
Right.
You know?
Does it make any sense? I mean, they still live in trees, right?
Yeah. You don't find them in any different habitat.
Yeah, I don't really get it. And I don't know what the advantage of being bigger up in the tree would be. I don't know. Why does a red squirrel kick the butt of a gray squirrel? You ever ask yourself that?
I don't know. Ornery, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know.
And one of these days, these gray squirrels are going to wake up and just kick the crap out of that red squirrel, no?
I don't think it's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet.
I don't know. I used to watch them on Power Lines, man, where they would both be coming from different directions. That's awesome.
The meat on a power line.
Oh, yeah. Red squirrel every time.
Gray squirrel backs off, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time.
Well, I'll report back next week. Hopefully, I found one. But I will eat it, and it'll be a meal, I hope.
You put some flour on them, butter and whatnot?
We do it just like chicken wings.
Yeah.
You cut the legs off like quarters, and just like you would do any chicken wing in any recipe, have whatever your favorite is, have at it, and you pick the meat off the bone, no different than the chicken wing. There's just a few more bones to pick around, that's all.
Yeah, I mean, they're eating good things. They're just eating nuts and stuff.
You know? I have no complaints. No complaints at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the time we have on From the Forest, and next week, I can't remember the topic, but we'll have it out.
All right.
All right. Look forward to it. Take care, and see you in the new year.
Take care.
New year. All right.
Oh, the neon lights were flashing, and the icy wind did blow. The water seeped into his shoes, and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way, getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long-forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest. Jet soars above the canyon streets, and the con men con, but life goes on, for the city never sleeps. And to an old forgotten soldier, the dawn will come no more, for the old man has come home from the forest.